Now may be a decent time to ask, at long last, for a raise. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It was late in coming, but there are signs it is finally here. Deep into this long, slow economic recovery, American workers may be getting access to a tool crucial to their increased prosperity. I'm talking about leverage. That is, leverage to ask for more money or they'll find work elsewhere. In recent days, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that the unemployment rate in America was down at a 16-year low and that wages are moving higher. Pay is up 2.5% from a year ago, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
Even before the financial crisis, the power balance between employees and employers definitely skewed towards companies over their workers. And coming out of the recession, there's been this grab any kind of job you can get and hold on tight sort of mentality.
Am I replaceable? Sure. Oh, yeah. Please. We're all replaceable.
That's Chris Goulias, who works for a big software company outside Columbus, Ohio.
I mean, do I have skills that other people on my team do not? Yeah. Is it enough to keep me there if all of a sudden they had to choose some? You know, I don't know.
Chris likes his job, especially that he can work from home. But lately, he started thinking that if he went out and looked for a new job, he could find one that pays better. And so he's thinking about asking for a raise. Nothing huge, but at least 3%. Maybe he and his family could eat out occasionally instead of only on birthdays and anniversaries. Thing is, Chris is nearly 40, and he's never asked for a raise before.
In the back of my head, I'm kind of like nudging myself forward. It's like, no. We're not going to repeat this anymore. Come on, let's do it. Let's jump.
Mark Zandi, the chief economist of Moody's Analytics, says we need lots of people like Chris to have this tough talk with their employers.
That's really key to getting wage growth picking up here. We need more and more workers feeling their oats and saying to their employers, look, I need a pay increase, a bigger one than I got last year, a lot bigger.
He says workers need to pick their heads up and realize, hey, they've got some negotiating power, especially in industries where the labor market is particularly strong, like construction and hospitality. The problem is, since workers have been on the back foot so long, we're all kind of rusty when it comes to asking for a raise.
Workers just, you know, they not only haven't had practice, many of them just have never been through this before. And so it's going to be a learning process.
Zandi says, do your research, plan your argument, take a deep breath, and go knock on your boss's door. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets now. The 100-share index in London is down quite sharply, 1.1%. The DAX index in Germany down 0.7%. Overnight in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng fell 1.1%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are down this morning. The Dow future down 56 points, about 0.3%. The S&P future down 0.4%. The NASDAQ composite down 0.6%. Oil is going the other way. It is up 0.6%, $49.84 a barrel in early New York trading here. Overnight, the U.S. ratcheted back slightly from the fiery rhetoric used by President Trump in response to North Korea's missile tests and threats. Diplomatic efforts to ease tensions are ongoing, North Korea said today. It was drawing up plans to fire test missiles into the waters near Guam, which is U.S. territory. If tensions increase, there are many potential costs, including, economists say, to the world economy. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on that.
The Korean Peninsula would likely take the brunt of any conflict between the U.S. and North Korea. South Korea's economy, which accounts for about 2% of global GDP, would likely be hit the worst. Anthony Cordesman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says the global supply chain for many things would be affected because South Korea exports a lot.
It produces automobiles, but also produces auto parts. Wireless communication equipment is obvious. It has a key role in global flat displays.
In fact, more than 40% of global LCD screens are produced in South Korea. Another concern is what North Korea's principal ally, China, would do. Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group, says tensions could easily lead to a Chinese and American trade war.
This kind of a conflict would dramatically impact the two economies in the world that, in a sense, are most interconnected.
Of course, if China or other countries, say Japan or Russia, got into a military conflict too, the cost in economic and human terms would be enormous. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We'll have a profits and sales report today from an important retail chain, Nordstrom. The upscale chain announced back in June it was thinking about becoming a private company again, buying out shareholders. It takes a lot of financing, but that company appears to be having a tough time getting formal talks going with potential investors. That may not be such a bad thing for the retailer, as Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
Retail has taken it on the chin as e-commerce draws people out of physical stores. Companies that want to survive need to make a number of big changes, ones that shareholders may not like. Joel Bynes is a managing director at Alex Partners.
That is going to be expensive, and it's going to take a lot of experimentation and a long time to figure out. And it's certainly easier to do those things as a private company than it is as a public company.
Nordstrom has moved big into online sales and hasn't opened a lot of stores, so they're not as bad off as other retailers, which, paradoxically, may explain why they're having trouble nailing down long-term investors. Matt Sargent is a senior VP of retail at Magid Associates.
They still have really a viable business model, so I don't think they're as lucrative to private equity as other parts of retail may be.
In other words, it's not a fire sale yet. Nordstrom's leaders are less likely to take deals that are better for investors than it is for them.
But at the same time, we may be revisiting this conversation in, say, 3 to 4 years.
Until then, I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And after just 8 months in the chair for LEGO's interim CEO, the Danish toymaker is bringing in a new one more quickly than expected. The new boss, Niels Christensen, isn't a toymaker. He comes from a thermostat-making firm, but he is Danish. The interim boss was not. LEGO's been doing fine. Its revenues in March were the highest in the company's, I think it's about 86-year history. And it's grown almost to be as big, but not quite as big, as Mattel. LEGO is privately held. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.